Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
See that you have in Jesus Christ. Because if this title is being declared over us as a church at this time, that we are called to rule and reign, that means we must have some kind of authority. For those of you in the room who love this, it means you're the boss. Right? I love this. This theme was built for me. All right? But for others in the room this morning, you might go, that is not what my life looks like, and it is not how I feel at this time. Well, this morning I pray that this word speaks to your spirit, because you were called to rule and reign in Christ's authority. Do you know, if I was to ask you this morning who you are, if I was to come up and introduce myself, say, hi, I'm Mel, I'm the pastor of this church, I would identify myself often by what I do. But if I went and asked John, hi, my name's Mel, I'm a pastor, you are, he would probably identify himself by his name and what he does. What do you identify as? Do you identify as a parent, a professional, a laborer, healthcare worker, teacher, a homemaker? If I asked you, what do you like, you'd probably respond with something like, I'm quiet, or I'm boisterous, I'm artistic, or I'm sensitive, I'm assertive. Some people would say, I'm awkward, bossy, chill, fun. We have a way that we identify ourselves. Some of it we speak out when we meet new people, and other things we think internally about ourselves. This is who I am. Do you know, it's become a real common practice that people will identify themselves publicly by their disabilities. In my role as a pastor, I do get the privilege of sitting with many people and hearing the beautiful stories that make up their life. But you know what I've found, regardless of whether it's in the house of God, whether it's out there in the community, many people will identify themselves with their disability. They'll identify themselves as their past failures or current diagnoses. It has become a common practice that parents with children with complex needs will identify them to you or others by their need. My child has ASD or ADHD. They're being identified through their disabilities or the challenges that they face each day. For so many of these, this causes them to define who they are by these things. People often identify themselves by past circumstances, current situations, failures, or accomplishments. Situations may have confronted you, and circumstances may have affected your life, but none of these things make up your identity. Your profession, your family role, and your duties are not your identity either. So if you're sitting in this room and you're a doctor, you're not actually a doctor. If you're sitting in this room and you're a mom, your identity is not solely as a mother. You are not a doctor, a pastor, a boss, an author, a business owner, a job seeker, or a housekeeper. Ultimately, your identity is as a child of God and a citizen of heaven. This is who God says you are. This is your identity. This should be the first response out of our mouths. Do you know, when I first stepped into ministry, maybe 12 years ago or so, and in particular when I first became a pastor, the last thing I wanted to do when asked, what do you do, is say, I'm a pastor. it can be met with really different reactions. But do you know, today I feel so totally different about what I do, because being able to say I'm a pastor as what I do leads me to a conversation every single time about whom I serve. What you do with your life, whether you're a mom, whether you're a business owner, whether you're in ministry, doesn't matter what you do. Our identity is in Jesus Christ, and what you do should lead to conversations about who he is. I just think that I've got the privilege that mine opens it up quicker these days. Romans 8:15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of slavery again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, 'Abba, Father, I am adopted.'" This is your identity. God, who created you, has adopted you into his bloodline. Therefore, you are a kingdom citizen. Do you know, I'm just going to speak for a moment. There are many who are seated here today who know exactly what I'm talking about, because you know who God is and you've followed him for many years. But there are ones who are seated here today who maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you've just joined a church and you don't know a lot about Jesus or God or the kingdom of heaven. Do you know, I just want to let you know right now that that is a journey that you can take. I'm going to give you an opportunity later in this message to be able to receive Jesus as your Savior. And if you don't know anything about that, but during this service already, you know that being here is really different today and you like what you're a part of. Maybe you even feel a tug in your heart, your body, saying, there's something different here and I think I need it in my life. Do you know that? I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that today. But I just want to make it really easy for you this morning. A citizen of heaven is just somebody who says, I can't do it alone anymore. I need the help of God in my life. That's all it is. It's not complicated, and there's no prerequisite for what you have to do. It certainly doesn't come with a list of things you have to have achieved, or what you can't, what you have done in your past will qualify you or disqualify you. None of those things matter to Jesus. He just loves you and he sees you this morning. And so that is what a citizen of heaven is. As I continue to preach this morning, that is what I'm talking about. Somebody who's been grafted into God's family, and do you know, he's actually after you for his family this morning. Do you know, there was a time I would never have answered the way I answer about myself, having a confidence to say, I'm a pastor, or even I would describe myself today in personality as somebody who is quite loud, definitely somebody who is bossy and boisterous. I'm somebody who is very confident, and I've held that confidence for many years, but it is not what my identity was formed from my beginning years. I would say my identity was remarkably different. If you have met me or known me since I was a child, you would have seen the difference as I have grown. And do you know, the reason I would say that is because when I was young, I struggled in a really big way with fear of insecurity. And I know there will be others here who sit in that position today, or maybe you can identify that that is something that you walked when you were younger, but I had a severe fear of insecurity. It was a generational curse in my family, and I attempted for years to get free of it by doing all the right Christian things. When I felt that it was a part, it was forming a huge part of who I was, particularly in my teen years, I would quote Romans 8:15, "For I do not have a spirit of fear. I have received the Holy Spirit, and whom I have been adopted in." But when fear and insecurity wanted to creep in through a conversation or a negative thought, I would try to talk myself out of it. I did this by telling myself I was not the same anymore. That God was my father, he was my strength, he was my source. I wasn't a product of a generational curse that followed in my bloodline anymore. Do you know, this morning I want to just speak to believers this morning who have known God for a while. Do you know, I believe now more than ever in the time of history that it's time to deal with some of these things. Do you know, we often speak from platforms that Jesus comes to save and to heal, but I see a third thing, that when he came to heal, to save and to release spiritual oppression. There's a third that's not often spoken about, and often we don't want to admit that there are those things that actually need to be dealt with in the spiritual realm, either over our own lives from choices or things we've allowed or things that have come from generations in our family. Do you know, it takes a bold believer to go, God, would you reveal those things so that they can be dealt with in my generation? And you know, there's good news this morning. You have the authority in Christ Jesus to do this and deal with this in your family today. Do you know, the Bible instructs us, do not be conformed to this world. We cannot mold our identities into the world, but instead need to have our kingdom citizenship mold us. We are in relationship with him and his word. We will discover, when we are in relationship with him and his word, we will discover and live in our identities in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:3 says, for I have died, or you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Maybe this morning you need a mental transformation around how you see your identity. I know that this is possible through an understanding of the authority that you have in Jesus Christ. And so I want to unpack this just a little bit this morning, that you have an authority in Jesus Christ that maybe you are fully aware of, but maybe you've never tapped into this before. So I want to unpack this morning, because I know that there are many people sitting here this morning who are going to get breakthrough in certain areas of their life that you have been holding on to or accepting or even maybe framing your identity out of, that God wants to shift for you this morning. You know, Jesus left this earth and he gave us his authority. In the world, people are appointed to be another person's power of attorney. I love this phrase. I was going to almost name my message power of attorney. You are God's power of attorney. They are given the authority to make decisions on behalf of the other person. They have authority over their bank accounts, medical decisions, living environments, their life, and even their death. Jesus gave us this kind of authority when he left earth and went to heaven. You could say that Jesus made us his power of attorney. Matthew 10:1 says, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. He consistently modeled for us how to take authority. He spoke into the spiritual realm and a natural result happened. I wonder how many people speak into the natural realm hoping for a supernatural shift. But Jesus modeled for each and every one of us that he spoke into the spiritual realm and natural, miraculous, and supernatural occurred from this. Our authority comes through the name of Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 9 and 10 says, therefore, God highly exalted himself and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven and on earth and under earth. When we ask by faith in his name, according to the will of the Father, we will see the fruit of the authority that we release. I want to pause just here for a minute before I jump back in. I love that. I love that thought. When we ask by faith in his name, according to the will of the Father, we will see fruit, the fruit of the authority that we release. Do you know, about 10 years ago when Graham and I both stepped into ministry, we knew we were stepping into no financial security. We were stepping out of marketplace jobs where there was huge stability and into massive uncertainty. By stepping into a ministry, for those of you who are unaware of how ministers all around the world are actually paid, we were almost guaranteeing in the natural realm we would never get a loan for anything for the rest of our lives. That's the truth. Now, we had a couple of things yet to be done in our lives. Graham and I were not living in our own home, and so we laid these things down. We gave them to God. We laid down that we would be able to do, you know, upgrade cars or buy homes, maybe travel abroad, because God had put something in our hearts and put tools in our hands to do work here in our community. And so we did this, but as Graham began to study when he went to Bible college, he began to get a revelation about the authority that he had in the spiritual realm to speak things that were in the name of Jesus by faith according to the will of the Father, to declare them and release them into spiritual realms to see them have natural results in our life. Just over 12 months ago, we said yes to something that God had laid on our heart, and that was to come around some beautiful families in our community as a support to help look after them and their children. And we said this bold yes at that time. For many of us, many of you know that we were already quite busy, but it's something that God had laid on our hearts, and so we said yes. And so I remember in the conversation that we sat down to have to go, are we doing this? You know those conversations, those brave conversations you have sometimes going, are we going to do this? Is this a go? Graham said right then to our family, we're going to go ahead with this. But according to God's word, this means a house, a church building, a beautiful baby, and a car for our family. All of those things were absolutely impossible. In actual fact, they weren't just impossible. There was massive obstacles on never, ever, ever would that happen. Never, ever in the way that we are paid would a bank ever look at us for a home, ever, or a car. So lending was out of the option. It was just not on the page. But we're sitting here 12 months later with a home and a church, a beautiful baby, and not just a gorgeous baby boy, but his extended family in our lives, so rich. And yesterday we got a brand new car. I have sat back and marveled, and this is where this message has come from, because it's okay to always be learning, okay? It's always okay to always be learning. I have watched and sat and marveled at the faith and the authority exercised in the spiritual realm of my husband and learnt along the way. Grab on the coattails of somebody who has faith and is exercising authority, because you will learn something on the way. But I sit in the blessing in the natural realm of somebody's authority in Christ Jesus being exercised. You have that same authority this morning. I don't know what it is that you put on this cross. We'd put those things on this cross. I don't know what it is that you've put on here. You know exactly what you've put on here. Maybe it's some of those exact same things. Maybe you actually need total restoration within your body. Maybe it's something that is completely impossible. Do you know, I know that this time next year you could have a praise report up there, just like I've got a praise report up there. Because you have all authority in Jesus Christ. John 14:13 says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you know, God loves to be glorified. And so he says here, I will do what you ask because it brings me glory. I love to be glorified. We have the Spirit of God inside to lead and empower us. Now we need to learn our authority in Christ and then release it. Removing obstacles such as doubt and unbelief is crucial in this process. And do you know that if you've got somebody in your world like I have somebody in my world who's willing to have faith and exercise it. They are some of the things that the Holy Spirit will come and He will deal with you in the process. If you're willing to humble yourself and learn, He will deal with doubt and He'll deal with unbelief as you learn to exercise your authority in Christ. Under the leading of the Holy Spirit, why don't you boldly say right now, I know it's the middle of the message, I know it doesn't seem like the right spot to respond, but right now, if you've put something up on that cross, would you boldly right now just say with the Holy Spirit, let it be done according to my faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it be done. Let it be done. Love what Rachel said this morning. He's done it and He can do it again. He can do it again in the name of Jesus. Paul told us in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of your Lord Jesus. Do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Do it in the name of Jesus Christ. That is where our authority comes from. In His name, nothing is impossible and everything is possible. Acts 3:6, Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have to give you, this is evidence that Jesus gave His authority to us here on earth. Peter is exercising. It says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He's exercising His authority in Jesus. Oh, that I would have a boldness, that you would have a boldness like Peter to say, I can see the need. I don't have that answer, but what I do have, I may not be able to help you find housing or provide meals for the rest of the year, even though you're in the darkest, deepest place. Silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, be free from addiction. Our authority in Jesus Christ. Peter gave a simple command, rise up and walk. And a man who couldn't walk was healed. What if Christians went around with this kind of authority and faith, made simple commands and believed that in faith that they and others would receive what is being spoken into the spiritual atmosphere? How much different would our world look like today? Do you know, all authority has been given to us and authority is good, but I want to go a little bit deeper this morning. I want to make you reach for more today. If you're willing to exercise authority, there's another level. And it's why I started this message speaking about identity, who you are in Christ Jesus. Because you were not just designed to walk with the authority of Christ Jesus. You were designed to have all dominion over this earth. I've explained authority as something that we release as we need it. We see a need, pray for the Holy Spirit's leading, and release our authority. As Christians, it should not stop with authority. We should rule and reign in dominion. When we worship, we may lift our hands and feel the presence of God. This is good. That's great. But there are times when we wait and seek and persist in the presence of God, that we feel a weightiness of His glory and worship. That's what it felt like for me this morning. I felt a weightiness come on me. It wasn't from when I walked in this morning, and it's not from when we began the worship part of our service, but there was a moment where we persisted in our seeking and our waiting. Did anybody else feel that or experience that this morning? There was a weightiness of His glory. It is as if holy fear comes on us. And sometimes I think, oh, my God, You are right here with me right now. Does anybody else ever have that? Like, You are right here. It's so tangible. In worship, we can feel the energy or thickness of God's weighty glory in the atmosphere. God's glory manifests differently to mere atmosphere. However, we know God's glory is the ultimate place to achieve in worship. With worship, we move through the presence to get to that glory. With authority, we move past authority to rule and reign in dominion. However, I believe many times after we've prayed with authority that we put authority back on the shelf until we need it again. But dominion should be something that we walk in, we rule and reign in, not something that we pick up and choose to use in different situations. Genesis 1:28 says, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" And in Genesis 1:26, we read, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness.'" Why would I put that scripture on the end of dominion? We are made in the image of the Trinity. Now, let me just explain that. That sounds like a really Christianese term. For some of you, you understand what that is. But if you've never heard that term, it is literally just the name that we give God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit in unity working together. The Trinity. Why would I unpack Genesis 1:26? "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness.'" We know that the Trinity has dominion and authority over everything. We don't question that because it is God. Therefore, since our identity is in Christ, we are made in the image of God. We have His dominion. You have His dominion. The Holy Spirit is in us. God gave us dominion, and Jesus has given you authority to speak things into the spiritual realm and see natural things occur. We have authority. No harm can come to us if we exercise that authority. The enemy may attack us and try to take us out or hurt us, but as we confess God's word, we can be healed, we can be delivered, we can be protected, we can see others healed, protected, delivered. Do you believe it this morning? Luke 10:19 says, "I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy." There's an all there in that passage. It doesn't say "and over some of the things that the enemy brings your way." It says "and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." That's the kind of authority and dominion that you have been given. My final passage this morning is the passage that just really awoke this revelation to me as Gray was walking his journey over the last 12 months, speaking in all sorts of absurd places. This is what's going to happen in our life. You watch. We're going to have church. We're going to have a house. We're going to have a baby. We're going to have a car. And I would at times be like, "Oh, Lord." He said it from the pulpit. It's on Podbean. Oh, my goodness. Matthew 28:18-20 says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." It doesn't matter what you do, it's a job, or in your home, if you're raising children or you're retired. It doesn't matter what makes up the elements of your story and your life. Your identity is in Christ Jesus, if that is who you've chosen to follow today, which means you have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ to speak things. Maybe you need to start speaking into the spiritual realm for a child to come home. Maybe you need to speak into the spiritual realm of young ones whose chemical imbalances are affecting their lives and their schooling journeys. I don't know what it is, that you are walking this morning, you need to know this morning that when you follow Jesus, your identity is found in him. You are who he says you are. Not what you've done, not what you currently put your hands to do each day. Your identity is in Jesus Christ, and he says you are chosen. You are purposeful. You are loved. You are more than enough. And you have all authority to speak things according to God's word and his will for your life. Speak them into being in the name of Jesus Christ. But don't stop there. What would it look like if you walked with dominion in your world? What would it walk like? What would your walk look like if you walked like you were going to own a home in the next 12 months? And that financial institutions and brokers and lenders and that came under the authority of Jesus Christ. What would your walk look like? What would your decisions look like? My prayer for you this week is that you would be filled with a well-grounded amazement at the absolute authority and sovereignty of Jesus Christ in your life and over his unstoppable mission to gather precious souls from all peoples all over the world, that you would hear the voice of God calling you to irresistibly hear, irresistibly, joyfully leave your comfort zone, go to a place of greater need for speaking and operating in authority and dominion in your world. I'm going to pray right now. Lord, I pray for each person here this morning. I pray this stirs their spirit and their heart and their mind. Right now, I pray that ways of thinking, victimhood, lack, I'm not enough. I pray right now in the spiritual realm that those things drop off in the name of Jesus Christ. And I released right now hope, faith, an excitement and a joy that there could be more, more. There could be blessing. There could be a life of abundance. There could be a richness in your family. There could be a wholeness in your body. There could be prosperity in your business or your family or your whatever sphere you put your hands to do in the marketplace. That there would be a wisdom as you lead young ones parenting or in leadership or in mentorship. I pray for each and every person this morning that in this authority we would catch a revelation this morning that dominion meant to go out and speak that authority over our community. That addiction no longer has a place. That suicide no longer has a place. That anxiety and depression no longer has room in this community. But instead, in the name of Jesus Christ, there would be prosperous, successful, abundant next generation who live with joy and an abounding peace in their world, who are loved, who are wanted, who are pushed forward into greater things. Lord God, give us a revelation. I know this is just a snippet this morning, but give us a revelation of the authority and dominion you want us to walk in. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. As all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, you know, I said at the beginning of this message that our identity is found in Jesus Christ, and you were called to be a citizen of heaven. God knows you by name. It doesn't matter what you've actually done in your past. It doesn't matter how you're operating today. It doesn't matter how you woke up this morning, where you woke up. Do you know there is nothing that you have done, that you can do, that you are doing, that separates you from the love of Jesus Christ? I know today that Christ wants to know you. He wants you to know Him the way He knows you. Sorry. I really felt this morning as I came in that there are those here this morning who know about God. You've heard about God. But you don't know what it means to walk in relationship with Him. You don't know what it means to have His guidance and His direction. You don't know what it means to live with peace, without anger, without constant frustration, without hurt, offense. But God wants you to know today that if you just reach out in your heart, say, God, I need to know those things. I need to know you because I need peace. I need love. I need restoration. I need healing in my heart, in my mind, in my body. God wants you to know that that is readily available for you this morning. And if that is you this morning and you go, you know what? I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a citizen of heaven. I want to be in relationship with God. If that's you this morning, nobody's looking around. Just me. I'm going to ask, if that's you this morning and you want to know Jesus for yourself, you want to begin that journey, I'd love to begin that with you this morning. So I'm going to ask quickly, if that's you this morning, would you just put your hand up, just show me? Thank you. I see that hand. That's really brave. I want to pray with you this morning. Nobody's going to come and do anything bizarre, promise. But if that's this morning, if that's you this morning and you're like, you know what, I would love to know more. I want to know more about Jesus. I'd like to begin this journey. Would you just slip your hand up? I'm going to see and I'm going to pray with you this morning. Is there anybody else? As I quickly just look across. Amazing, amazing. I'm going to pray with you. Thank you for being so bold and lifting your hand this morning. Right now, believers, would you just begin to pray as I pray? When I pray this prayer this morning, I'm just going to ask you to open your heart up and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, because He will. And we're going to just begin this journey. Father, right now, I thank you for this heart that has opened up to you this morning. You saw this heart. You know this journey, you know this story, you know this person by name, and you've been waiting for this precious moment where they say, yes, that's me. I need you, God. Can't do it alone anymore. I need you. Right now, for this beautiful soul, I pray right now you would fill them with your presence. Fill them to overflowing, God. We accept you as our Lord and our Savior this morning. And we begin that journey to follow you, learning and loving you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on right now. Why don't we put our hands together? An incredible decision has been made this morning.